All right. We're going. All right. Are you ready for your... These are the five that you like as they are. We're going to just run through them. And then for the second part of the do you like the concept but not the exact measure, then we'll get up and use the dots for that part. Okay? Everybody straight with what you're doing. Five hand raises, five dots. Okay. So, number one, do you have any hand raises on 0004 endorsed initiation and engagement of alcohol and other drug dependence treatment? Five? I'm getting five. Second one, not endorsed alcohol misuse, the ESPERT measure. Two votes.
What was that? Use your microphone, please.
So this is as specified?
As specified.
And this one doesn't have specs?
Well, it has, yeah. We don't have them on your...
Ball man rule.
That you don't see the specs on your worksheet because it's not endorsed and we didn't have access to that, but it is a measure that's specified, I believe.
It's going to be coming through endorsement in the current behavioral health project.
Right. But if you don't feel like you have enough information to vote for it, then you're well within your bounds.
Specs matter.
Yes. Number three, we have multiple endorsed versions of CAHPS surveys. And yesterday, what our friendly amendment to this was, the recommendation to HHS, use the CAHPS that fits with the setting of care, wherever that setting is. So how many hand raises for CAHPS?
Is that with that modification that we're suggesting?
It's not a modification to the measure. There are CAHPS that exist in every setting.
Seven.
Okay. 0004, endorsed, initiation and engagement of alcohol and other drug dependence treatment.
Sorry.
Measure pair, tobacco use assessment and tobacco cessation. One, two. Somebody keeping Rita honest? Okay, number 101, falls and screening for fall risk.
Three.
0208, family evaluation of hospice care. We're going to have to keep Deb honest, obviously. 0209, comfortable dying. One. 228, three-item care transition measure. There's two of us. 0260, assessment and health of health-related quality of life in dialysis settings. 0329, all-cause readmission index, zero. 0329, all-cause readmission index risk adjusted. The caveat here being that these measures are going to just change whether we vote for them as is or not, so there's two votes for that.
Two.
The next one is the plan all-cause readmission. Zero. And the next one is hospital-wide all-cause unplanned readmission. One, two, three, four. 0418, screening for clinical depression and follow-up plan. Very popular measure. One.
Nine. Okay, hold them up. We are laying it. Hold them up.
Mm-hmm. 0421, preventive care and screening BMI.
One.
0490, ability to use HIT to perform care management at the point of care.
Two. Are you scratching your neck or are you voting, Tom?
Sold.
Okay, three on that.
0494, medical home system survey.
Five, six.
0523, pain assessment conducted in home health. 0. 0557, HFIP 6 post-discharge continuing care plan created, which was suggested that we pair with 0558, post-discharge continuing care plan. These are both, that's a paired set of measures. We paired them up yesterday. Last vote, Tom gets one vote for that one. No, the one it's paired with is 0558. Mm-hmm. 0576, follow-up after hospitalization for mental illness.
Two.
0647, transition record with specified elements received by discharged patients.
1.
0.
2.
2.
Oh.
Okay.
2 on the last.
Correct. Oh, is that 064? I guess neither one of them do. 0648 is timely transmission of transition record from inpatient. Okay, let's back up to transition record with specified elements received by discharge patients, inpatient discharges to home or self-care, or any other site of care. Now it's 0, and now we're going to 648, that's the timely transmission of transition record from inpatient.
1, oh, 3. Tiny jab here.
0729, optimal diabetes care.
3.
Not endorsed, potentially harmful drug disease interactions in the elderly.
1.
0097, medication reconciliation. 2, 3. 0430 is the change in daily activity function measured by the AMPAC.
1.
The next series are the ones that we just added to the list yesterday. Set 178 is improvement in the status of surgical wounds. These are all home health-based measures. Surgical wounds, going once. 174, improvements in bathing. 75, improvements in bed transferring. 76, medication management. 76, are you raising your hand on that one?
No, I just wanted to say that I like the mission.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm
not voting for them is they're already in the home health measurement set, and we're supposed to be focusing on our population.
Okay. 79 is the improvement in dyspnea. 0167, improvement in ambulation locomotion. And then the SNP 6, coordination of Medicare and Medicaid coverage. Okay, so we'll pause here and say, yeah, except Adam wasn't voting. Somebody was borrowing one of Adam's votes. So someone's writing down all these numbers, and the next thing we're going to do is go to the concept, Rita.
So because I think it's important we talk about the modified, because I think that rather than just place dots, because I think that some people may or may not agree with the modified, and I think that that requires some group process.
Okay.
To inform the voting on concept.
Okay. So just so everybody's clear, the thing that we're going to do next is put dots on concepts. So you could say either, you could express your opinion now about what about this would have to change in order for you to be happy with the measure, or you could just say, I love the concept, and then just stop right there, and the staff will take that back and and work the what would have to be changed. So you can go ahead and voice either thing. You can either say, yes, I love this concept, and then just stop your comment, or you could add a, and especially if it was expanded to blah, 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 and then it'll be noted in the record.
So we're going to do this as a group, or... I mean, I yell that out when I put my dog
up
there.
It sounds like we better do this again as a going through out loud, just for the happiness of consensus. It didn't take long.
Good.
Okay. So, all righty, but I'm counting on you to not tell a whole paragraph about what you would need changed about the measure. Or if someone says what they want changed and you agree, you can just nod your head up and down. Yes, I agree. But again, after we get through the what would need to be changed, we'll have a really short, pithy discussion, what would need to be changed about the measure, and as soon as we're done with that, we'll do a quick show of hands, and again, you only get 5 shows of hands, and no, this is going to be torture, but you only get 5 shows of hands.
And what are we showing for this time?
You'll be saying, once we have consensus on what would need to be changed about the measure, then we'll do a show of hands of, is this one of your top 5 priority measure concepts?
Overall, got
it. Yes. Yeah.
What if it doesn't need to be modified, but it just didn't make our prior top 5?
Well, that's true. You can use one of your other 5 votes to offer support for a measure that you did not get a chance to offer support for in the first round. Page by page. I'm going to lose track in a big hurry. Okay, so 0004, is there anything that could be changed to this measure?
Category
by category.
Or would people not be able to do that?
I don't think so. Oh, 0004, the first one, is there anything that needs to be changed about the initiation and engagement of alcohol and other drug dependence treatment that would make it pop up to your top 5 list? Okay, votes for people who want to add this one who didn't get a chance to vote on it the last time or want to endorse this concept as one of your top 5 priorities. Okay. All right, next measure, alcohol. Oh.
So, in reality, are we voting for 10?
So,
5 this time and 5 the previous time?
Yeah.
Or should we vote again?
But this 5 is the modified 5.
Okay.
If you vote for it last time,
gotcha.
You have a modified
right.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right. All right. Don't vote for it if you voted for it already. Okay, next one, alcohol misuse, the ESPERT measure. How do we know how you would want it modified when we don't know how it is today? Is that your... But would anybody want to add this as a concept, the ESPERT brief intervention? Yes, there's one vote at least to add. Okay. Next one, CAP survey family of measures. Anybody want to say something about that, Adam?
As I understand it, there's multiple CAPs, there's supplemental questions, but there's not a CAPs currently in existence that would be specifically for integrated programs or for programs serving the duals.
Yeah.
So that would require a modification. But we can endorse the CAPS principle.
Yeah.
Yes. But there is an experience survey being developed for the Medicaid home and community-based service population that they hope to get a CAPS endorsement for, and they've been working with ARC as part of that development.
Let's take one little round of if you have 5 votes. Does anybody want to use one of your 5 votes to say once HCBS CAPS is endorsed, we would strongly encourage having that in the dual?
Well, that's funny.
No.
Is that a gap?
Oh, okay. Is it a gap? Or we'll just say that falls under the category of CAPS is used where CAPS applies.
Yeah.
Okay, friendly amendment. All caps, whenever they're endorsed, get used in the setting, so HCBS caps will apply. Okay, are we on to 002? Oh, Adam got a vote there. Did you add Adam's vote? We already voted on the CAPS family of measures, but if you would like one, if you didn't vote on it the first time, you can add your vote to them now.
Right.
Okay. Not if you voted for it the first time. If you want to add your vote and you didn't vote on it the first time.
Five.
Yeah, you couldn't have used up your new five votes. You have five new votes. Yeah. I'm glad I had coffee this morning. That's all I can say. Trish?
Question about CAPS, actually, that's relevant to something else that we're coming up to. And that is, according to this, there is no CAPS for hospice currently. Is that correct?
Okay. Deb is nodding her head up and down.
But there is a hospice.
There's a hospice survey.
Experience survey that gets reported on now. But, well, the folks from Inshuet could probably talk about this better because there was a hospice group.
Yeah. Are you referring to the Family Evaluation of Hospice Care, the FEC? Yeah, there is a survey instrument for the family, and I believe it's after the patient passes, if I'm not.
And we have that.
Comfortable dying related to pain.
We also have 0208, Family Evaluation of Hospice. It's just three down from where we are now. Okay. All right. Are we on tobacco use assessment? Does anybody want to add a vote or modify this measure? Tom?
My concern with the original measure is that it's a process measure. Although it says here that there is intervention and it's captured by administrative data, that's not the AMA TCPI version, and that's not what meaningful use version, which is strictly a process measure. So I'd look for clarification that there really is an intervention that's done.
Okay. Who's capturing modifications? Okay, with the modification of making sure that there is an intervention, does anybody want to add your vote now to tobacco? Okay. All right, fall screening for fall risk. One conversation we had a lot about this is that right now it's only age 65 and older, so the modification I would suggest is anybody at risk for falls? Add a vote? Okay, voting on a broadened use of fall risk. Okay, that's one for me. Yeah.
Does it have to necessarily be falls or can it be injury also?
I'd say falls. I'd say if you expand to injury, that is a new measure.
Okay.
That's just me. Okay, 208, Family Evaluation of Hospice Care. Anybody want to modify it or add a vote? Deb?
I'll add a vote.
Two, is that a vote? Two votes. Modified. Say your modification.
I'd like to see this one broader than just hospice care. I'd like to have it expanded to multiple levels of care, particularly with those individuals who have chronic and debilitating illnesses that are very dependent upon families to help support them.
Maybe who is familiar enough with the HCBS measure that you could say if the new HCBS CAPS is going to address that family support?
I can't imagine that it wouldn't. I know they have part of their development process is to deal with the fact that not all people can report for themselves, and so they have a process to get a proxy measure for that, but I can't speak any more about that.
So, but Rhonda, what you're saying is that you want evaluated by family such things as symptom management, communication, provision of information, emotional support, and care coordination, no matter what the setting is. Is that the part of the measure that you're...
Well, she said for chronically ill.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, the important distinction between this and the existing surveys that we have already voted on, in my mind, would be that the hospice survey takes into account these different domains of care, like symptom management, communication, et cetera. Not so much the family, because family members can respond to CAP survey now, right?
Well, then let me ask a question, because I was probably broadening it a little more than maybe it's intended. I was really looking for a measure, something that would measure caretaker strain.
Caretaker strain. Okay, so can we just add as a modification that we need that concept? Yeah, that's or a gap? Gap? Okay, we're going to move that to the gap list, and you'll have another chance to vote for that. But anyway, Deb was adding her vote to the family evaluation of hospice care, right? Okay. Anybody else want to add one of your five votes?
So just clarification. So my vote was not put on here. So what I added was put in a gap area.
Yeah, right. We're going to do a whole separate voting process on gaps, and it's not going to be this complicated. Ha. Comfortable dying. Anybody want to add a vote or modify the comfortable dying, Trish?
I have no idea how you would actually operationalize this, but pain assessment in various settings and pain assessment and response or whatever. I mean, I think the measure is good. I just broaden the settings.
Yeah. All right. Voting for comfortable pain assessment and control, we're going to call that. Four added votes. Three-item care transition measure. Does anybody want to tweak this or vote for it that didn't vote before?
I just have a big picture question, just because in the area of transition there are four different measures that I think go at transition discharge planning. Mm-hmm. So I don't really understand how to make sense of that. I mean, I don't want to vote four times for a discharge measure. At the same time, I absolutely positively want to throw my weight behind one of those four, whichever is by consensus considered the most important.
Oh, Sarah, with your...
I can tell you what pages they're on because I wrote down the pages. They're on pages 3, 9, 13, and 15. And one of those is that paired one.
Yeah.
So that's...
I guess the distinction that I will offer is that the CTM3, which I've called patient experience of care transition, is patient reported. The other grouped measure that the transition record has been communicated to the family as well as the primary care physician is a process measure and has a different characterization. So if that helps you make your decision, then we can have a little bit more discussion about that and reflect that.
My leaning would be let's broaden one of the other measures and add some votes to that one. All of us have said that we support transition, and yeah, I mean, if that's okay, I'll just pause there. Yeah, that's what I, yeah.
The second one you identified,
right
now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so the one on page 9, which is the paired one, I believe.
Yeah.
With modification, I'm fine throwing my weight. I feel like
okay.
I'm caucusing at a
yeah.
convention.
Got it. Got it. That would be, page 9 at the bottom, 557 and 558 are the paired measures, and so it would be to broaden that to more settings.
But do I understand those paired measures are not self-report? They are pulled from some type of data, administrative data, or okay? Because to me, it makes a difference. There's two pieces to this. One is whether or not the discharge information
was transmitted. The other is what the patient or the family understands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I see those both as being very important.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think we ought to lump them. I agree. David.
Sticky button here. If we're considering that as an alternative to 228, 228 I think is
No, not an alternative. I'm saying don't lump them together. I think we should vote on them separately.
Okay.
So if you would like to add one vote and you have not already voted on the three item care transition measure, this would be the time to do it. And don't think of it as the only thing that we're going to talk about in terms of transition.
Which one
are
we looking at?
Three-item care transition measure, 0228. Patient experience.
Holding high.
Can I say something about...
Are you voting?
Well, I already voted on it.
Okay,
and
then five.
Five. The way I understand this measure is that for people who have cognitive impairments, the family can report. So there is some substitution for... the experience. But the other thing is it just deals with inpatient transition, and it doesn't deal with transitions out of, say, for example, nursing home, etc. Okay.
Would you like to suggest it be broadened as a modification? Okay. Yes, and there's lots of nodding to that.
Okay.
So the modification is to say more settings than just from the inpatient.
Great, and the only thing I'll mention is that in our pre-rulemaking report through this process, and I think some of this discussion had come up previously, in the actual report there's an example where MAP thinks that CTM3, where it's currently specified for inpatient hospital setting and beyond, should be explored for things like the post-acute care long-term care setting. Also to be explored whether you could use it in sort of clinician settings in terms of thinking about some things about attribution at that point. But to let you know that the good news is I think we can further echo and emphasize that, but some of that aspect has been captured in the pre-rulemaking report.
So weren't there five? There were five. Okay. 0260, assessment of health-related quality of life for dialysis patients. Would you like to suggest a modification with your microphone?
I mean, this also appears as a gap, right? But because this is limited to patients with end-stage renal disease. So is there an opportunity here to broaden this? Or to modify this, to broaden it? Okay. So broadening it to access.
Yeah. So, votes. Votes to have a broader health related quality of life survey measure.
Four, five, six.
Broaden to more than just dialysis patients.
Everything under the sun?
That's okay. Our new favorite one so far. Okay, now we are on the tricky readmission measures. How about if we could we just have a show of hands on whatever turns out to be the endorsed readmission measure? That's one that we would like to have in the set.
No, I know.
No.
No.
But look how many hands are raised, Rita. We're so close.
I don't know. So here's something I don't know what they're doing. But here's my concern. When you look at readmissions for mental health and substance abuse, they are disproportionately in safety net hospitals, as versus community-based hospitals. And if there is not an adjustment, you're going to be punishing the safety net hospitals because they disproportionately serve those with mental health and substance abuse problems. So I'm throwing that in that they need to make some adjustments for that.
Or stratify?
Well, okay. So does that mean you have a different readmission rate for a community hospital than a safety net? You know, Johns Hopkins, if you are in Baltimore, is where you're going to go. You're not going to the suburbs.
Okay.
Suburban hospital.
I believe Helen said yesterday that the recommendation from the steering committee is that like hospitals be compared to like hospitals. So
okay.
That would be
fine. All right.
Okay. Okay. All right. One more time. Readmissions in the way that it is endorsed.
If you didn't already vote.
Okay. I think that keeping myself honest, I think that's three for me. Okay. Now we're jumping down to 0418, screening for clinical depression and follow-up plan, if you didn't already vote for it or if you want to suggest a modification. Okay, everybody who wanted to vote, voted. All right, next one, 421, the BMI measure. 490, HIT, to perform care management at the point of care. Did you use it?
It says specifically disease management, and I'd like it to be broader to be care coordination, which is more than just disease management.
Okay. So with that modification of high-risk patient care management, are there any extra hands raised?
Use of registries included.
Is that friendly amendment? Okay. Use of registry and electronic means to track care management provided to three new votes for that one. Okay. 0494, medical home survey. If you didn't vote for it before and if you have a modification or a vote, go.
I have a modification that it be not only primary care, but could be specialty care. And I'm not entirely sure about this one, but I know NCQA will only do primary care. And so I would imagine this reflects it's similar.
Okay.
I want to allow specialty care for those with intensive so that you can bring primary care into the specialty care center to have the medical home.
Okay. Anybody want to add your vote to that modification?
Well, I also had a modification, too.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I just liked the suggested modification, which was emphasizing care management by the most appropriate person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that one, too.
Now for another amendment.
Yep.
ACOs and other accountable.
Oh,
entities.
Yes.
That's I thought they were.
Okay.
They're not.
Well, it's okay. Medical homes. So.
Okay.
Okay. So how many now?
Cheryl always gets the amendment.
The only place. I think we had looked at this one in depth before, and we were really interested in seeing something about integrating Medicare and Medicaid, maybe in the ideal form. But that's not, I think, specific to this.
That's
like
a good,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, too.
Yeah. Yes, Adam?
I just want to point out something about the measure. Just to meet the standards, the practice must have a physician-led team.
Right. That's why we're modifying.
So we're modifying it to eliminate that provision. But I think, you know, the whole principle of a medical home, of a patient-centered medical home, is that it's in a primary care practice, which is physician-led.
We're being more expansive now with these modifications. Way more expansive.
So can I respond to that, though, a little? Are you done? I mean, I just wanted to have a dialogue here.
I'll be
sure. So, for instance, a schizophrenic may not feel comfortable in primary care, but they may in, say, a community mental health center, which does have a physician who is the medical director. So I'm not, my issue is not that the medical director or not, you can see that as a physician-led team. The care coordinator might not be the physician, but it's simply that those with severe mental illness are often more comfortable in facilities for that. And then you know, say, having a relationship with the FQHC to come in and do the primary care is kind of a model that we've done at SAMHSA and has worked well for the SMI. But the physician issue is not my issue. So.
No, I was raising another issue that I don't know that we want to endorse a measure that's linked to a model that is unique to primary care settings with physician-led teams. I think many of the models that are evolving for the care, for the integrated care of dually eligible persons or eligible beneficiaries are not physician-led. They're team-based. They have other leaders besides a physician. So I just have concerns about even endorsing something related to a medical home that that is not appropriate to the population.
So what we're going to say is we did have six people vote for it as is, and now we're going to do one show of hands for who people who would like a measure that is parallel but very much different from the medical home survey, which includes specialty, broader use of appropriate care management, ACO model, non-physician-led team, more like a health home team.
Some oncologists have also promoted this.
Some of these same kinds of care management structural measures, we want to endorse the concept of there should be a way to consistently measure the systemness of the delivery of a health home. Who would like to vote on that as a totally separate? You could even vote if you voted the last time. It's a huge gap, but it's a measure concept that we want to endorse. I am voting again, and I already voted, so this is the one exception to that. Because it's so different. It is very different from what we voted on the last time. I'm keeping track, though. This is my four. Okay.
Alice, I'll also point out that there's a CAHPS medical home survey that are not up with the details, but
in the family of CAHPS. Okay, pain assessment. We just voted on a modified pain management in hospice. So if you wish that you had voted on this one, you could add a vote now. But I think we'll keep that as a measure concept, pain assessment and management. Anybody want to add a vote to that didn't vote for pain already? Okay, now we are on the paired discharge measures, HBIPS 6 and 00558, the post-discharge continuous care plan created. And the suggested modification to this was to go beyond just the psychiatric setting. Any other modifications?
Well, even as a psychiatric measure, I'd like to see substance abuse diagnoses added, which would include detox. So it wouldn't necessarily always be from a psych unit. Detox is usually done on a medical unit.
Okay. So broaden to substance use, Deb. Or no, Trish, you go next.
I'm just wondering if someone can see the distinction between this pair and the other pair Leo referred to on 13 and 15, which already identifies a whole bunch of settings and seems very similar. And one or the other is what I would vote for, but I can't really see if we're talking about expanding settings.
Okay.
If someone can tell me what's better about one than the other, I'd appreciate that.
I get the sense from the modifications that you're all proposing that it's getting more towards the other pair, but they're very similar. So at a concept level, I think we know what we're trying to communicate, that the discharge plan would be created and transmitted to everyone that needs a copy of it upon transition from all settings.
Okay. Then let's vote for the measure concept of transition record being created and delivered. Okay? Patient and physician. Yes, the votes are going to be in all one place. Yes, this one is received, the 0647 is received by discharged patients, inpatient discharges to home or any other site of care. So we're going to broaden the discharge transition plan. Any dual eligible discharge from any setting. Yes, Rita.
Well, I was just voting.
Oh, voting. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's my five. I'm really going to be frustrated now for the whole rest of the day. That was my five. That includes follow-up for after hospitalization. Nope, that would not be the same. So separately, we will vote now on 0576, follow-up after hospitalization for mental illness.
I would again like to propose that substance abuse be included if it's kept to just a site one.
Okay, so modification to include substance abuse. Rhonda.
I would like to see it broadened to medical diagnosis. This is an actual measure using administrative claims to say whether or not the person actually got to another level of care, the next level of care, as opposed to the transmission of records.
So are you saying no matter where a person who was hospitalized for mental illness is seen, or you're saying every single person who's discharged should have a follow-up visit?
Everyone who's discharged should have a follow-up visit that is measured.
Can I have a let's do that as a gap, because I'm not seeing a bunch of wild head nodding to that one. That's maybe a little too, that's a whole different measure. Deb?
I mean, at a minimum, anyone who has surgery should. I mean, there's exceptions sort of to the rule, and I think that's what the nodding was about, is they want it to be broader than just mental health, but not as broad as everything.
Yeah. All right, let's do hand raising just to add substance use for this point, at this point. One extra vote for that. And then on the gap list, could you please keep track that appropriate follow-up after discharge for any diagnosis? Okay, now we are skipping past all the way down to optimal diabetes care. If you didn't vote on it before and you want to add a vote, this would be the time, or suggest a modification. I can't imagine anybody would want to modify optimal diabetes care, but there's elderly people who might not want their hemoglobin A1C controlled so much. So.
Right, I mean, no, it's absolutely true. The definition is an A1C under 8.
Yeah.
And you know, emerging evidence that tight glycemic control may not be of value in older patients with limited life expectancy. So and may confer much more risk than benefit. So
as soon as I said that out of my mind, out of my mouth, I thought, no, there are total needs for the duals to have this one modified. So Jenny's nodding her head and Daniel's nodding his head. So any extra votes now that we are going to consider this one modified for the needs of the elderly to have their hemoglobin A1C not under such tight control? Okay, then we have these medication ones that we know that we would like a measure of appropriate prescribing. Should we keep that on the gap list? And we'll come back. You'll have another chance to vote on appropriate prescribing. You won't lose your... No, you get a whole new set of votes when we get to the gap. But unless there's something that you think that is a minor enough tweak on the medication that either the potentially harmful drug-disease interactions or 0097 medication reconciliation, if you think there's a minor enough tweak that you could vote on that measure and you didn't already? Nope. No, I'm just asking if you didn't have a chance to vote on one of those two med measures and you want to now or offer a modification, Steve, for which one? Med reconciliation, one extra vote for medication reconciliation. Okay. 0430, the AMPAC measure. Modify or add a vote. This is the 0430 change in daily activity function.
Well, I would vote for this if it were a broad ADL measure that was, you know, as we had said the other day, beyond post-acute and including maintenance of status and those changes, then I would vote for it.
Okay. With that modification, hands up if you didn't have a chance to vote for this one and you still have any votes left.
Actually, in terms of modifying this to include trying to get more of the, using this measure to get more of the community and looking at support services as well.
Okay. So it would be like, can you function with or without assistance kind of thing? Okay. Okay. We got 4 extra votes for cast for that one. All right. For this next whole group, does anybody want to say anything about that whole group that we talked about yesterday, all the way to the left? So it's mobility, wounds, bathing, transferring, oral meds, or dyspnea. Does anybody want to add or tweak any of the ones on that list, Tom? No? Okay.
I think I'd like it to be tweaked so that it was plan specific, so that if the plan provided home health services, that you would have some attribution to the plan, because there's issues around people not getting home health services that maybe should get home health services.
Okay. So it's like the That seems more like a gap. Can you add that to the gap? Plan, referral, and follow-up for home health. Yeah. Tom, did you want to add?
I was retaining my one vote until for the medication, but now they should give me another opportunity. I'm going to take my vote back on the diabetes optimal treatment, put it up there, but with a modification. The problem that we have as health plans is this mixing of those elements which are claims-based and those elements which are paper-based, like the tobacco cessation counseling, which again is a process measure that is not a strong measure in terms of outcomes. So I'd like to see something else done with tobacco. I mean, I live in Kentucky, for goodness sake. But finding a way that's going to be more objective.
So which measure do you want to modify? The diabetes measure or the... Yes. And
throw a vote in for it with modification.
Okay. We're almost to the end of this list. 0167 is improvement in ambulation and locomotion. Modifications on that one? Or add a vote? And then... Seeing none, we're on SNP, coordination of Medicare and Medicaid coverage. So, Samantha, you want to add a vote? Trish?
Because I don't have any more votes, I'd like to add to the gap.
We need a gap that is specific to alignment of
I think it is one of the essential things that distinguishes duals from other people.
Yeah.
And
totally agree.
And it's too narrow, limited to SNPs anyway.
Yeah. Okay. David? Same thing. Okay.
But I'd like to add to your modification not only Medicare and Medicaid, but also other waiver and grant programs that are relevant to the population.
Got it. On the gap list. Okay. Nodding. All right. Can we do our lunch break? All right. Let's do our lunch break. And during lunch, the list of gaps is going to be put up on the wall. And so you can start thinking about how you want to use your precious 5 votes for gaps, because we're just going to do that by getting up and putting the dots and not ignore gaps. Oh, 10 votes. You get 10 votes for gaps. And you can use 2 for 1 or 3 for 1 or however you want to divide up your 10 gap votes.
And
well, wait till you see.
Where is the gap first?
Alice, how do we know if the gaps that we think exist are on the gaps list that we're going to vote on? Okay, if we want to add, can we add to it when it goes up? Okay.
But yeah, we won't start the exercise. I'm just saying start scanning it during lunch, but you won't have to start putting your dots up during lunch. Let's see here, 12:45. Oh, 12:45. That is when we will come back and start talking about the exercise. So you have a 20-minute break. Okay, so we're going to start right into using our 10 dots to vote now. Everybody should have 10 dots. Again, you can cluster them or you can assign them one by one. What we're going to do right this minute is, if you have scanned these, if you have questions about what any of these gaps are, or if there's any missing gaps that you thought should have been on the list, but this was taken from that list that we went over yesterday. We did some brainstorming, but again, if something had cropped up for you that you failed to identify last night, this is your chance to call it out. Tell Sarah. Sarah will write it up. Trish.
I guess I have a question on the structural measures. If I want to vote for what was the SNP, the very last measure on our list, I'm thinking what I vote for is coordination between payment systems. Is that...
I would have thought it was harmonization of programs.
Well, harmonization of programs,
we can add one. Let's add one. Well, what would you like to call it?
What the SNP one says, and I think it says what I want to vote for, is helping people get all the benefits, something that helps people get what they're entitled to under both programs so they don't have to figure out the harmonization issue. Somebody else, helps them work through both.
I think that is harmonization then. I think harmonization of programs is making Medicare and Medicaid work together for the patient. That's not saying that the patient would have had to figure it out.
But I think you're talking about the benefit package, but there's...
Are you talking about clarity around the benefit package, that beneficiaries have access to full disclosure about the benefits to which they're entitled?
No, I'm talking about the places where it is difficult to get Medicaid because the state is requiring that you go through Medicare, which is, for various reasons, impossible, and someone helps, and there have been, people have figured out how to do that, but it's not easy, and so someone helps you when Medicaid says we're the payer of last resort, you have to figure out your Medicare, someone helps you do that. Because it's a huge barrier to services right now, and theoretically that would disappear in integrated programs. It probably doesn't exist in your program because of the design of it, but we don't know that it would disappear in integrated programs, and B, we're not at integrated programs yet.
So Sarah is offering up assistance navigating Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes. Perfect.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else that is missing or needs to be explained? Yes.
I guess I have two. One of them is preventable hospitalization, because the best way to reduce readmissions is to reduce the initial index. And so I would... Okay.
So what we have on the list is appropriateness of initial hospitalization.
The other thing is... there needs to be some way to ensure that the care plan that a person has, especially the Medicaid part of the care plan, actually gets operationalized. So is the person really getting all of the services that are in their care plan?
So the one that we have up there is person-centered planning, but it needs to be person-centered planning / implementation of the plan, follow-up. Implementation, let's call that. Okay, if we can.
There's this issue that, you know, the care plan would say you're supposed to have X number of personal care visits, and you only get half that.
Yes. Adam.
Yes, just a suggestion.
Thank you for raising that.
Those two care planning items, the first two you have there, Sarah. Could we combine them as a single care planning?
So what we're suggesting is to combine person-centered planning with the concept single plan integrating medical, behavioral, functional, and social issues. Everybody okay with that?
Consistent with goals.
All right. All three of those. We love this. Okay, good.
Very nice.
Leo,
and we make it possible to develop.
I have three, but maybe they're already up there or represented somehow. The first question, let's call them questions and not suggestions until I'm clear. The first one is heart disease, which we have repeatedly seen is one of the biggest issues, and I'm not sure if we have a measure in our set or up there that addresses heart disease.
We'll add that one. Thank you.
So I think from a clinical point of view, that's a key one. Second thing that jumps out at me is just, from my limited experience dealing with duals and representing them, I find the lines between depression, anxiety disorder, dementia, mild cognitive impairment to be very difficult lines to draw in a practical sense. And so I'm a little concerned that we don't have a measure that's a little broader and looking at those in a broad sense. Like, I wouldn't want us to just do a depression screen and not pick up people who have an anxiety disorder or, you know. So I think we need a broader mental health, behavioral health. And you know, there's a cognitive status one up there that I also think is, I just think these things go together. So it's hard for me to imagine screening for one and not bringing in the others.
So let's put on the screening and assessment list. Would it be okay to expand cognitive status to include psychosocial mental health screening and assessment, make that all one thing so people can vote once to?
That's where I was headed, so that would be great.
Okay, thank you.
And third and last one, similarly, we have a falls assessment, fall risk one, and I would want something a little broader that was safety risk a little broader, because I think falls is obviously a huge issue. I think there are other safety issues.
Yeah, Wanda had asked for that, too, in terms of injury, so both just safety on the assessment.
Yes, yeah, safety assessment.
Yeah. Okay.
That would include fall.
Yeah, leaving the stove on and the water running, stuff like that, burning your house down.
Just to respond to Leo, there is diabetes and cardiovascular screening under the screening and assessment. So I'm not sure that.
Thanks, I didn't see that. So.
So I guess the question is, would you like to have cardiovascular management, or is it okay to just have it there as screening and assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I would love it to be screening and then treatment plan, but.
Okay.
But I didn't see that it was up there.
Well,
thanks, Adam.
Don't you think it should be consistent with the National Quality Strategy or with series of measures that are put in place? I mean, the dual eligibles are not excluded from the rest of the nation.
Okay. Anything else? Going once, going twice? Okay, everybody has 10 votes. And Adam.
Can you use more than one vote on one item?
Yes, you may. Okay. No. Yes, the secret color waiting that we weren't going to tell you about.
Oh, that's just
okay.
Exciting.
Go. Everybody's done voting, right? Okay. Here, Sarah is going to go through and tally up.
It looks like, just at a glance, the big winners are utilization benchmarking. Health literacy has some tail votes. Did that get more than five? Health literacy, screening and assessment, it's two down. Okay, so health literacy, the psychosocial cognitive mental health screening. We did some kind of fuzzy things with that medication management, so we might want to just talk for a second about high priority areas for measure development in this area. So we ended up lumping together appropriate prescribing, reducing polypharmacy, medication management, and then there was also a measure of medication adherence, which is a little bit different, obviously. One's more on the provider side and one's more on the client side. So does anybody want to say just a few words about what you thought you were voting for when you put your dot there? Yeah, are we happy enough just saying, you know, here are a bunch of areas of concern under the general heading of prescribing? Okay, nods to that. So if we can make sure and capture all of these kind of subheadings under medication. Then many votes for the person-centered care planning and implementation, which also includes the notion of integrating medical, behavioral, functional, social issues, and that care is delivered consistent with individuals' goals. That gets a big star on our report. Appropriateness of the initial hospitalization, for example, avoidable hospitalizations. Coordination of long-term supports and services. Yeah. You might want to, I can't see which microphone you're closest to, but
it seemed like that the single plan integrating should really include that.
Yeah, you're right. So if that's okay as a friendly amendment, could we just move the LPSS under that care planning?
The point that the gap, at least I was recognizing, is the coordination of medical care with social care.
Yeah.
And so looking at how the primary care physician specialist interface with the long-term services and supports in the community, case managers, ADRCs, et cetera.
So you can think of, if you were creating a measure around that, that it those could be measured in really different ways. So on the one hand, you could be measuring from the LTSS side. On the other hand, you could be measuring it from the system or the accountable care organization or the health home, and how well do they coordinate with the LTSS if it's carved out.
Yes.
Then the next big winner is the system structures to assure connection between the health system and HCBS social support. So there's another echo to the comment Steve just made. Coordination between systems of payment, harmonization of programs, those two concepts seem to go hand in hand pretty well. And then assistance navigating Medicare and Medicaid, all those are structure measures. Then under quality of life, there's optimal functioning, which includes improving, maintaining, managing, pain and symptom management, and then sense of control, self-determination. So I think we've kind of gone back all the way around to our first meeting on some of these things. And on others of them, we have really done a much more nuanced, detailed underlining of concepts. So we'll stop there with the gaps and turn next to the measures. So sorted by total vote. So this is the handout that you just got in front of you. This was the result of our multi-voting. And the discussion for right now is just if we give a list of measures and measure concepts to Cheryl, that cuts off somewhere, let's say, at the bottom of the first page. So let's, ignoring that there is a second page, if we were just going to give Cheryl this list of measures, would you feel like we had done a good job as a committee? Knowing that we also are going with this GAPS, we'll be getting the list of measures, high priority measures, and a complimentary list of GAPS. Yeah, Deb.
I think there needs to be an amendment that has to do with stratifying for the duals so that you can actually see the performance on the dual eligibles in comparison to other groups, which,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Cheryl's nodding her head. That's what she will do with this recommended list, right? Rhonda?
The only other thing that came up for me is that I could have, I guess what, not knowing what already is being accepted as measures outside of the duals, have we duplicated anything here such that we are, how would you say, losing power by duplicating what's already being accepted on a broader scale or a broader view? Because the duals is just a subcommittee of a broader initiative, so there are others that are putting in measures for coordination of care and others. Have we overlapped with the broader selection of measures?
So you mean from the other MAP work
right.
groups? What would you guys say? I would say that the most overlap that we have is with the LTSS work group.
I guess my perspective would be that that those overlaps are important signals about what's important not only to duals but to everyone. And we often say that if we can fix certain issues like care coordination for the duals population, we will have succeeded across the system. And so we've been using that as we've been using the duals population as an example of how to fix some of these things across the rest of the system. So I wouldn't want to second guess, personally, what you all have come up with here, because I think it reinforces where we need to be focusing in some of the other areas of the system.
I agree with that, but also I think knowing that some of these areas were already going to be dealt with from a broader perspective, might have voted a little bit differently in terms of bringing up some of the other things that I think are important to duals, which might be the bottom half of the page.
I guess at this stage in our work, sort of the first phase here, this initial report, it'd be good to see how all of the streams and threads are coming together. We have proposed follow-on work where we will be looking more specifically at certain sub-segments or cohorts of the duals population, and I think that will be the time for the group to really focus in on the more unique nature. I mean, I think to a certain extent you've done that, but I guess I still like to see those connections to what's also important to the rest of the system. It helps to give the perspective back to the coordinating committee of where the dual population both has similar needs as well as unique needs. Other perspectives from you heard some of the broader MAP coordinating committee discussions, Alice. How do you think that goes?
I guess I'm taking more of a narrow perspective in terms of what is our task and what we need to deliver to Cheryl. And so I guess at the end of the day, when we see what the draft report looks like, if we take a look at it and say, holy cow, this one thread that came all the way through and then was just snipped off in the very last hour of the meeting, there'll be a chance to go back and weave it back in.
And if you see something along those lines, either now or, as Alice was suggesting, when you get a chance to look at the public comment draft or the draft report. Actually, you'll get the coordinating committee draft in just a couple weeks, right, Sarah? Sarah's going to be working hard to pull all of this together. Be looking for that kind of thing. Wouldn't want to lose any of those unique threads.
Cheryl, were you going to ask?
I think in this context, overlap isn't bad, and it doesn't allow the loss of strength because we're focusing on what's important to this population, and we've actually asked all of the other groups in the MAP to focus on in theirs, and we went through and voted on what was important for duals and what they were doing as well. So in a lot of cases, and that gets to, are there things that exist that should be stratified that are important, not just for duals, but are very important for duals and important for other populations. So I see those as more probably opportunities for stratification or complementary development going forward. I just don't see that any type of overlap really gets us in an area of losing harm or losing focus with what's important for duals. In large part, it's probably good that there's overlap, and we've been trying to think of where is there important overlap, again, measuring what's important for this population, but understanding that what's important for this population may be important for other populations, too.
Thanks. Steve?
Yeah, it looked like there was a couple that we agreed upon that could be combined here. Maybe the fourth one down, all-cause readmission index, with the second from the bottom on the first page. The readmission issue.
Sure.
And then the other one was the HBIPS 6. And on the back side, second one down, HBIPS 7.
Yeah, we had agreed to pair those up. Right. Trish?
Just similarly to what Steve was just saying, I thought I understood that we had kind of rolled the HBIPS and the timely transmission, which were both paired groups, and sort of rolled them into the concept of transfer plan to all necessary parties across all settings. So just in terms of the strength of the position, you would take the HBIPS 7, but also the next one after it, the timely transition, which is essentially the same qualities, measuring the same qualities. And then the other timely transition further down didn't get any votes, which I think was because we had already combined them.
Yeah.
So that'll just show up as a stronger,
as a measure concept, really. Had a lot more votes than it looks like all by itself.
Yeah.
Right. Samantha?
Yeah, I just had a similar comment. I thought, I think I was the only one who voted for the last one, the SNP 6, probably because everyone else ran out of votes. So, but then I think it was raised more as a gap than as, so as long as we kind of crosswalk the concepts with the votes here, it's fine.
Okay.
Thanks.
Jim?
I just want to say thanks to everybody, and I have to leave.
Okay.
Thank you for inviting me into your circle. I hope I can see you again, but it's really been terrific. I've learned so much. I really appreciate it. And have a good rest of your meeting. Thank you.
Thanks for your contribution. Other comments on where we're at now, Deb?
This is just an aside, and I thought of it when you mentioned the overlap between the post-acute care group and this group. I think one of the things that this group needs to say is to look at potentially avoidable hospitalizations that come out of the nursing home, because that's something that wasn't on the nursing home list, but is a big issue among the duals.
Thanks. So what we were going to have done this afternoon, if we had been an hour earlier in the schedule, as we were actually going to have people work in little groups to come actually start fleshing out specific measures. And Sarah and I think that you have done enough work to satisfy what we need to get into the report, unless Cheryl says to us, please, please, we really need you to flesh out the numerator and denominator in this next hour.
I think people have done enough work. Or at least I'm sensing that's the right thing to say. No, I am.
You're here.
I think I'm strong enough to block the door. So, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move on now from this topic and into the what is the report going to look like, and Connie's going to walk us through that part.
Can you give me just a moment out to get up onto the screen?
Do we need any? Do we have any more slides that we need to go through on this stuff? No.
No.
Well, we did it. Public comment. We could do public comment while you're teeing up. Nicole, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Could you ask if there's any public comment, and also if there's anybody in the room who would like to make public comment? We sincerely apologize for having been so bogged down in detail that we neglected to invite you earlier, but this would be your opportunity.
For public comment over the telephone, please press *1 at this time.
Will be our opportunity to have a moment of zen while we wait for Connie's slides. We can all just breathe in and breathe out and appreciate that we've managed to accomplish an awful lot in the last 2 days. Nicole, we're still with you. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Connie, take it away.
So anyway, thank you, everybody, for your high-level engagement over the last 2 days. Diane did a great job, I think, in terms of summarizing the themes from day one. We talked about that at the end of yesterday, and also Alice did a nice recap earlier this morning. So what I'll want to focus on, Diane and I were sort of coordinating a little bit on this, but in terms of right now, is really focusing on day two themes. I'm just going to go through this and open to any comments or any additional feedback, and we can talk further about, again, the structure of the report that we're anticipating submitting for review by the MAP Coordinating Committee. So today, the focus of day two was much more about, the measure development process and thinking about, again, a core set for duals and sort of how we would work with this process and recognizing some of the challenges. So some of the themes, in our discussions were, what would some of these challenges be? They would include the evidence base. So I think there was good discussion from the developers that for many of the types of measures that we're interested in, there may not be that traditional sort of clinical, sort of medical, randomized controlled trial kind of level of evidence for what you're trying to do, but that this sort of body of work is evolving, and so how to create measures that would address some of these areas, understanding there is a little bit of a challenge, with that. In addition, some of the other, as I'm listing here, small numbers, right, in terms of some of the denominators, again, that is a challenge as you get to, specifically for the duals and then sort of smaller subsections, of that group. For this also, when we heard from Karen Sapuka, specifically for shared decision-making, when we were talking about patient-reported outcomes, she talked about her framework about information, involvement, and concordance. So within there, understanding how to get at this important aspect, of care or how you're maneuvering through care, with this population, looking at, you know, whether decisions made are actually, you know, appropriate or, you know, sensitive to the goals of that patient. And maybe there are some conflicts with, you know, potential conflicts with clinical guidelines, right? But, you know, in what cases would that be appropriate? So understanding sort of shared decision-making and goal attainment, you know, maybe there are situations where when you are approaching that, that may be, you know, at odds or in variance with what clinical guidelines might be stating. Also, we heard from, you know, our own performance measures here, Heidi Bosley, in terms of the process for, you know, our consensus development process for measure endorsement, and talking about you know, the option for ad hoc review, and how Heidi also mentioned how we're going to try and move towards a two-step endorsement process, which will allow measure developers to come forward earlier on with measure concepts, and thinking, you know, especially for areas of gaps, to get sort of a green light on that before you go further to actually, you know, spend that time to fully spec out and test a measure. So here, with the discussion of the, you know, committee or the work group here, there was a mention earlier about thinking about other data sources, mobile technology, cell phones, you know, this sort of thing, to other avenues to collect patient-reported information. It was also mentioned during this, talk about development of measures. There was, again, time spent talking about cost and resource use work, which is clearly in progress. And throughout this, thinking about, you know, how to, you know, focus on what's important to measure. I think Cheryl also helped chime in about what the DOULG office and CMS, HHS overall are looking for in terms of feedback. So what's important, what do we need to focus on? You know, we can even not be limited by what is currently in existence, but clearly where can we tweak, and clearly our activities today try to take us in that direction. Let's move to the next slide. Okay, and then with our presentation from our subcontractor, L&M, through Avalier, they did a nice sort of environmental scan, which I think helped highlight or show that there was a lot of synergistic thinking, you know, from their key informant interviews and their own research, with a lot of the themes that have come up in our discussions here with the DOULG, you know, work group. So talking specifically about measure gaps and needs, again, looking at, you know, ways to help us measure and ensure that there's sort of this high-touch, person-centered planning and management. I think that's come up over and over again, this patient-centeredness, you know, thinking about, you know, again, their individualized care planning, I think is a theme that they emphasize and we have also emphasized as well. Processes and structures are in place, let's see. Yes, this lack of systemness data. So I think that is a big thing that's come up, understanding sort of the fragmentation. And I think we've had conversations also on this concept of connectedness, right? Thinking about systemness and how to measure the degree of connectedness of, you know, in the DOULG experience. So and that may be one of the, you know, solutions or one of the ways to think about that is, you know, this sort of handoff development and handoff of sort of this care plan that's individualized. So further on, there's some of the other discussion points that came up here. Certainly discussion, L&M raised this, and I think it was sort of echoed earlier too. Shared accountability, how do we move towards having measures and measurements that goes across settings? Who are the right people for that? Who's going to collect that? Who should be held responsible for that? I think those are all challenges when you think about measures in this area, you know, that would speak to the DOULGs. There was also some interesting discussion about mental health and substance use data. Some discussion about, you know, it's probably very important for us to get some clarity about, you know, what may be truly restricted, what isn't, you know, where can we go in terms of use of that data from, I guess, research purposes versus, you know, QI, you know, measurement and also ultimately sort of quality improvement purposes. So, again, things to keep in mind as we're thinking about, you know, measures, our gap areas, where we want to expand. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more as we move through the day. We talked in terms of the voting exercises, right? And so we went through the exercise of saying, okay, for the core measures, the DOULG core measures, you know, which you know, which ones are able to be used just the way they are. So we've highlighted a few of them here. Obviously, we have more of the details on some of our handouts, and we'll go back and recap that. But, you know, what we'll mention is, you know, some of the things that had sort of three or more votes, you know, clicked upon group for, you know, using the measures the way they are. This includes depression screening, medical home adequacy, the CAPS measures. We had a lot of discussion about that, and initiation of drug dependence treatment. Somewhere in the mid category, not low, but, you know, middle, would be HIT point of care, diabetes management, father screening, medication reconciliation measures that are out there, and then transition record communicated. Then we switched the discussion to those that need to be modified in some small way. Here you'll see sort of the top measures that would be those that had sort of greater than 9 votes. So the the therapy of health-related quality of life. This is originally spec for just the ESRD dialysis setting, but a desire to make that more expansive. All-cause hospital readmission, lots of discussion about that in terms of, you know, how to modify that appropriately. Medical home adequacy. There's also inpatient emergency room transition records. And site discharge planning, this is the HBID 6 and 7, the discharge plan created and submitted and how to broaden that. So the theme here, I think, overall was saying, you know, we like a lot of the focus of this particular measure, but how do we expand it to different populations and across different settings where possible? Ones that fell just below this top threshold of votes would include false screening, some areas of CAPS to sort of emphasize, and then patient experience of care and transitions. And again, we have obviously the records of the specific votes, and you know we'll be able to pull those out in excruciating detail, I think, for the actual report. Okay, so when we spoke about gaps and just recently finished this exercise, you know, when I was doing just a quick scan here, looking at sort of top and mid, and this is just very arbitrary, right? You know, those that had more than nine dots on there, what really came up, and again, probably no surprise to folks, this is sort of person-centered planning and consistency with goals, wanting to have more measures that would address this area. Cognitive status, psychosocial health, you know, appropriateness of initial hospitalization, certainly this connection with the home and community-based services. We obviously had good discussion about that on day one, and there's, a desire to try and look at some of the measures in this area that help us, you know, bring that part of the experience of the duals, you know, into this measurement schema, and then optimal functioning. And then if you look at sort of the mid-range, things that made it, you know, again, arbitrarily took about six, you know, looks and said, you know, if it's sort of six votes and higher for now, medication management, this includes polypharmacy, med reconciliation kind of aspects in there. Utilization benchmarking was raised. Health literacy was a theme that actually came out in both day one and day two. This is long-term support services that sort of gets also to sort of home and community-based services. Coordination between systems of payment. We had some discussion, and also yesterday, in terms of you know, how do you get sort of the Medicare payment, sort of, you know, coordinating their services together. And this can even go to, you know, just even understanding what global payments might be, but you know, having some transparency and visibility into that. Sense of control and autonomy was another category that came up, and then assistance navigating Medicaid and Medicare. So this was, I think, discussed also earlier. There was sort of a SNP measure that was very specific, you know, to that setting, but really trying to have a measure that, you know, thinks about, you know, guiding a dual eligible beneficiary through, you know, their services and understanding sort of their coverage that way.
So, Connie, just yes, if we could pause for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So will you all do something similar to this with the gaps? So we'll get a summary that shows, like, where who all, how many votes each of these things.
Yeah, we could certainly do that.
That would be great. And then mm-hmm. if you can also send us the summary slides after the meeting, that would be great. Jenny?
Microphone.
Yeah.
I ask the technicality of the categorization, because I think the medication management actually had four boxes, which would total over nine in terms of bumping that up. As with the Medicare Medicaid harmonization, if we take a look mm-hmm. at that, that kind of came into the upper category as well. There was
great, yeah. Jenny, which one? So the top three, as far as the medication management and which other category are we bringing in? Are the one with the arrow there?
Yes, appropriate prescribing.
Yeah, no, so. I think that's good to note there.
as well as the Medicare and Medicaid harmonization. I thought that was clustered together too, in which case that would make the upper category as well.
Got it.
Okay. I'll just add that we've identified a few areas where combining categories is going to help clarify the intent, and so there will be refinements to both lists in terms of number of votes and how we might phrase or describe some of the categories. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I would mention, you know, so I appreciate everybody sort of taking a look at this. Oh, Tom.
You knew I couldn't resist, could you? I'm just trying to think of, in terms of Cheryl, our customer, if you will, with the prioritization listing. And as we go putting this forward, how well are we matching up so that there are areas that we may have inadvertently not touched on that would later in a reiteration be able to go back and take care of that gap?
It helps to see them a couple of times. I was looking at Jenny's face, and I felt like I was doing that too. And I was thinking about Leonardo's comment yesterday about how at the end of the day, what we're really going to want are 2 care coordination, 2 quality of life, 3 behavioral health, 2 assessment. I mean, right? So in the end of the day, now that we have the priority measures and the measure gaps all together, do you feel like we've gotten close to where you started off yesterday morning as making sure that we're hitting all the domains and...
I mean, I feel like we certainly thought much more about the big buckets as we went through, and obviously I didn't know that those exercises were going to happen. So, I mean, I think we did think about it. I think if we give CMS a laundry list of, you know, 25, could they pick 6 that wouldn't reflect what our thinking was? Absolutely. And so I think that mitigates in favor of us also telling CMS, you know, here are sort of 6 areas we think are important, or whatever the number is. But Cheryl's here, and she has a great memory, so I'm not worried.
Just keep in mind, while I plan to stay in this position for a long time, who knows, and others are also in the office, and the more persuasive and specific you are, the more helpful it is to everyone.
Great. Oh, yeah, Alice, the only thing I would just add, you know, we sort of recapped day 2 themes, but just to call people's attention again to our original sort of report outline, you all have an opportunity, obviously, to review the initial draft at the time that the coordinating committee as well, you know, will be taking a look at that. You know, we'll again talk about sort of the priorities for this area, sort of the approach to performance measurement, and a lot of the focus for the final report versus our interim will be, you know, based on sort of these specific, you know, details about the dual core and these very, you know, concrete recommendations that we have for potentially modifying measures and then also pointing to high priority gaps. So I think that's, you know, as far as when we think about the second report or the final report, that's really the sort of the core of it and the meat of the actual input there.
And the final report is due when, remind?
Sarah's going to walk through the whole.
Yeah, so I'm going to steal Sarah's time.
Yeah, Connie, if you want to flip back to the other slide deck.
Thank you. Oh, Steve, sorry.
I was just going to comment that I think it's noteworthy that we have a similar number of gaps as we do of ranked measures and measure concepts. And I'm wondering, so there's a lot of gaps equal to the number of measure concepts that we identify just about. I'm wondering also, did we prioritize enough? Because we have, even in the high top group, I think we have 7 or 8 areas.
Do you have a sense yet, Cheryl, if we prioritized enough?
I think the degree to which prioritization is expanded is probably helpful. We do have limited resources, so more thinking behind prioritization is helpful, I think. And also prioritization as well as timing, too. Because I think even if you look at some of the broader topics, there are a couple of things that we identified that we might be able to use now or perhaps we think are good enough for now. And that's great. It may not be as high of a priority as getting to the perfect measure at a longer term, but I think balancing that out is helpful too. You know, are the ones now good enough, even though they're maybe not your highest priority, to start using those as we work towards that, or really the gap is so large that they don't even try to do what exists now and just focus on what will be in the future. So that type of prioritization is helpful too. But any guidance and specific guidance on prioritization is extremely helpful and will help us as we, because we'll inevitably have to prioritize this and not tackle it all and certainly not be able to do it all in 1 year. So there will be, you know, what do we do now and how to prioritize. Any help with that would be greatly appreciated. And we'll probably get the product closer to what you're imagining in the future too.
Adam.
Well, just looking at the list of measures, and there's only one measure there that received double-digit votes unmodified. And I think, you know, many of the others were just placeholders for concepts. So I think, you know, the evidence kind of speaks for itself that the gaps and the concepts are a higher priority than the application of existing endorsed measures.
Okay, Sarah.
This will be the last time you see your favorite slide, so say goodbye. We will be preparing a draft of the final report to vet with the coordinating committee. They are meeting on March 15th, and so you will see a copy of that coordinating committee reaction early draft 2.5 weeks from now. After the coordinating committee sort of discusses some strategy and potentially additional refinements to your recommendations, the draft would be further enhanced, and then it will be posted for public comment in April. At that time, we'll be asking you to reach out to your networks to have people weigh in on the recommendations in the report if they choose to, and just get that last bit of transparency into this process. The final report is due June 1st to HHS. The duals report. Mm-hmm. Any questions about process, Jenny?
It probably is one step along this diagram, but so nice to look at it. I was just looking at, as we communicate to our various audiences to get input, is there a way to diagrammatically show what happens in the life of a quality measure? So in other words, it goes here and it gets used. It's almost like a core ingredient that fits into different audiences, you know, how the office of the duals use it, how this affects brand, you know, mm-hmm. how it affects payment. Just to say, When this incredible widget gets birthed, how does it show up in ways that will affect the lives of a dual eligible or somebody like that? So a different graphic depiction of it.
Okay, I think that's a useful illustration for the final report, which summarizes, you know, the purpose of all of this and its end uses and how that ultimately affects consumers. Anybody else on process? Adam, is your card left over? Deb.
Will the coordinating committee be in person or will it be a webinar? And if it's a webinar, can you send us the information so we could listen?
It's in person. You may attend in person if you're local, and we'll also be web streaming the meeting as we are this one and all of the meetings. Samantha?
Just in terms of thinking of a helpful visual to put the concepts and the measures that come out of this group and just the big kind of crosswalk. You can't really even officially do it, but a way to kind of crosswalk into what Jenny was talking about, how our measures may, even just the concept may resonate or be similar to other measures from other programs. We've seen some of that, but I think more and more what we'll expect to be seeing at the federal level are when measures come out for comment, there's so much to digest and there's so much out there, I think you're going to start seeing the measures crosswalked in regs so people can just make sense of it because they're doing it by themselves. They're looking at the EHR program and they're seeing how those measures compare to this. So to the extent that some of the concepts or some of these measures, you can kind of capture how the key ones may align, even if it's not specifically numerator or denominator, but how it resonates with what's evolving on all these different tracks of measure selection and development across the different programs, that would be helpful.
That's a great suggestion. I think we plan to do that in at least two ways. If you noticed in your measure chart, I think maybe one of the far columns was the other programs that the measures we looked at were used in, and we'd want to continue to represent that. Where we're touching on things more at the topic level, it gets a little fuzzier and the programs sort of multiply that you would want to crosswalk those concepts to. But we'll certainly do our best, especially for the highest priority topics or gap areas. A second method, I just forgot, but I had in my head a second ago. We certainly noticed that type of crosswalking in the Medicaid adult core set, for example, and I think that's an example we would play out as well. So thank you for that. Another bit of logistical information is that the first year of MAPS experience is drawing to a close. It's been busy and wonderful. Anyone, you might recall, we drew terms at the beginning of this work, and you all have a 1, 2, or 3 year initial membership term, and you can find yourself or your organization on the list. I'll go back to this, but I'm going to flip back to the instructions right now. We're going to be launching a call for nominations, so anyone holding a 1 year term that would like to continue to participate in this work group, we'd love to have you, but you will need to renominate yourself, and we'll be distributing instructions about how to do so. There'll be a 30-day nomination period to submit some basic application letters, and then a roster will go up for comment. And it's a multi-stage process, but I just wanted to make sure that everyone is aware.
Might be like necessary. Leading by the chair for certain people to please consider renominating. That's a good group.
Well, that means there are certain ones you wouldn't want.
No, they're going to be on anyway, because they're twos and threes. But if you're a 1 year,
everyone who's a one.
Yeah, if you're a 1 year person,
so diplomatic.
It's like
you've
gone through the whole storming, forming, norming, performing part, and wouldn't it be terrible to lose you now?
Yes.
That's all.
Is the nominated entity the organization or the individual? It's the organization. And
if you're an organizational member, it is the organization itself that holds the seat. So in your case, it's the PACE Association. And they would renominate themselves as an organization, and you would work with them to be their representative if you chose to. You could also, I guess if you wanted to, put yourself in as a subject matter expert, Gail, Rhonda, Susan, others, as individuals. There's no distinction, as you've observed, in the way that the group operates. But we will be balancing all the stakeholder voices the same way we have in the past. So, does that help?
Yes. And is there a thought of inviting or nominating other organizations?
It will certainly be an open call for nominations, and others will have an opportunity to join the group as well. within the next several weeks.
And if you're an organizational representative, what do you need from the organization to say that they renominate you? I mean,
well, we have a detailed instruction. and it will be fairly straightforward, a form, a letter of intent, and we'll give you all that information in writing via email. So you can refer to it and pass it along to others if you need to. Yeah.
But that will be distributed both to those of us who are the representative
and the organization as a member? Yes. I hadn't given it that much thought, but yes, we'll have a large push to the organizations, all of you, and a broader public announcement of the opportunity. Any other questions about nominations? You've heard Tom talk a little bit about work we hope to continue to do related to duals. No guarantees on that, but the certainly the role in pre-rulemaking continues no matter what in statute. So at this point, Alice, if you want to...
Just in case it is your last chance to weigh in on this, we wanted to offer everyone a chance to say what do you think is the most important aspect of the MAPS work on quality measurement for duals. One thing, it's hard, I know. This is, we go from 5 dots to 10 dots to 1 dot. You get to say one most important thing. Where would you like to see this work go in the future? And any process improvements for you as a work group member. So, for example, in between meetings, what would have helped you to stay engaged in the work, or following from now to the future, what would help you to stay engaged in the work, and how can the NQF folks make sure that they touch base with you? We're going to start with Samantha and go around this way because we want Cheryl to have the last word. So, Samantha. Can you take a whack at those three questions?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Sorry to bring it on you.
I think that for the dual eligibles, what struck me today is some of the most important work I think we've done is not only try to identify gaps for this population, but in so doing, I think we found that we identified gaps across the different work groups, perhaps. When you had us kind of take our measures and walk them across what came out of the different work groups of the MAP, I think we realized that we resonated a lot with what was in long-term care, which made sense. And then we saw that we didn't resonate a lot with what was coming out of the hospital work group. So it was really an interesting exercise. So I think that, let's see, I think that the dual eligibility, the duals really, I think in a way, we provide some information that helps the other work groups identify what they may not be focusing on that they could consider focusing on. Where would you like to see this work go in the future? I think that perhaps in the next session, maybe do a little bit more work around something that I'm not particularly akin to, but I think it's important, and that deals with the payment. And so I was excited to hear about the cost measure work today, because I think that we just have to be prepared to answer the hard questions that are easy to ask. Who are the duals and how much do they cost? And we have a sense of that, but not to the level of granularity I think that Congress would like for us to be able to answer that, or that our communities would like for us to be able to work with them to show how when they do quality improvements for this population, it makes a difference. And also, in terms of where I like to see this work go in the future, talking a little bit more about the measure selection, but also how what we talk about in terms of choosing measures in the future, we are, when we run federal programs, I mean, we're doing the national quality strategy right now, and we have to make choices now on the measures that programs are reporting. And so working with what we have now in terms of the data sets and how So let's see, what process improvements would help work with members stay informed and engaged? I think that there's a lot of nuggets that maybe are tangential that we're reluctant to put forth because we do have such dense agendas, but maybe to the extent that there are topics that people want to kind of dialogue about outside of the sessions. I think 42 CFR came up. You know, you could kind of talk for half a day just about that. I like talking about HIT and HIE, and, you know, again, but this isn't the HIT group per se, but I think, you know, if they're kind of a, I don't know, working blog groups or whatever you want to call it, it's just kind of different, and then they could bring back to the bigger group, that could be an opportunity. So that's, I know I probably think of better things if you came in the last, but that's what comes to my mind right now, so thank you. And I just want to thank everyone. I think this has been very helpful. A colleague of mine is on the coordinating committee. I'm on the duals committee. We have folks in our different offices, and I can tell you that it really informs our work in thinking about how we operationalize the National Quality Strategy. We have our existing programs, and we're doing it now, and we're trying to, you know, lead the effort in preparing those programs for this reporting within the existing infrastructure of what we have. So it's like someone said yesterday, this isn't your father's CMS. It's not your father's Department of Health and Human Services. So the OCS really forces us to work across agencies. And last but not least, I just want to say, I think a lot of talk came yesterday. We talked about the community. And when we talk about community integration, from HRSA's perspective, you know, we really are the community for the federal programs. And so we always welcome the opportunity to share the information about what we're hearing from our grantees, how we're using some of these measures, or how people are thinking about this. So I'm happy to be a contact for anyone who ever wants to make inroads across all of HRSA. So thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
I would say that the multiple perspectives available gives us a good selection from which to prioritize, but the most important part of it is the prioritizing, and that I found to be a good process here, and prioritizing largely in the absence of the data that we'd like to have to help us do that prioritization. So what I would most hope to see going forward is that we have more information about use and usefulness and things that would further our efforts to be able to prioritize things. And I thought we were kept very well informed all along the way, and don't have any suggestions about that part of the process.
I think for me, starting from the beginning, the most important aspect of this was really being able to bring some clarity to the domains and the subdomains that are real important to this population. I kind of visualized when I first came to this particular group, kind of a blank sheet of paper, and starting from there and building. And, you know, the process went very well. And I think what we ended up with the domains and even the prioritization, I think is a really good characterization of some of the major issues that are real important to this population. Where would I like to see this work go in the future? I think there are some areas that are going to be very, very important, and I think the cost resources is going to be exceptionally important because no matter what plans are put together, if the funds are not there or not coordinated well or not tracked well, then, you know, we have huge problems with that. I also think that there are a lot of tangible issues that came up, and I don't know where they go. Like, for example, Rita and I talked about the whole informed consent issue around substance use disorders. I'm just wondering if some of those things get captured and could be funneled, or I don't know if that's politically correct, but communicated to the appropriate agencies as this being something that is real important to the process and particularly going forward. I do think the substance abuse issue as it relates to data is going to be very, very important in order to make this work. I also think that, you know, we have a lot more digging to do in terms of community resources. And I may have a skewed view on this. I don't think I do. There are a lot of community resources that are there in organized, I would say, health plans and organized organizations that handle and manage delivery systems, I'm not clear that community resources, particularly those that are 501c3s, are as well positioned, one, to be sustained, and number two, to be a viable, accountable, and how would you say, participant in this. Many in my work with a lot of these organizations, they have their very important agenda. They have filled a very important gap, but many times they are focused on that, and they're not necessarily have the infrastructure to be a partner as a part of the delivery system. So I would like to see some measures and some discussion and fleshing that out, because just having those kinds of things fleshed out in terms of what are the important structures and processes begins to help that those organizations to begin to move towards building that within the organizations itself. I think we were kept very well informed and engaged. I just wish my schedule wasn't as crowded to make it, you know, a complete... Right, well, yeah, that... No, they were very mindful of the times for the meeting, so I really appreciate that. So it's really been a pleasure being on this. Thank you.
Jenny.
Well, first of all, just thank you. I just want to echo the fact, what a pleasure, and I think I've had a chance to talk to both members here as well as staff as to what an incredible experience this has been. To answer the specific question, I think one of the big takeaways for me is, given this is a dual-eligible group, it's not a clinical group, this opportunity was given to reframe the clinical measurement approach to approach the very gray zone, but is such an important zone for those of us oftentimes who work with duals that know that the social aspects, the quality of life, things that just don't have a robust area of study yet. But this has elevated that, and I hope that it will then influence not only the rigor of the development, but the infusion into the other quality measurement groups that are working. Secondly, the application side of this, where we'd like to see this go in the future. I think to the others as well, but what I'd like to do is, I was very moved by Helen's presentation when she used also a reframing of looking at the work in diverse populations as a way of framing up this discussion. And that's helpful because I think we have a tendency, understandably, to narrow into priorities and go right down. But I almost think that this group has allowed the framing to constantly be stretched. And so I'd like to see that work continue to go. And I think that's all. Thank you.
Tom.
Well, also thank you. And I want to particularly acknowledge Alice and Sarah for what you've done, but also Tom and Tommy and Diane and Extensia. Because I felt that this group has really gelled over this time, at least for me personally. As far as the first issue goes, this is the only one of the MAP groups which is population-focused. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been either clinical, like patient safety, or on provider groups. So it becomes a surrogate for every other kind of population group, and that becomes some future direction to dealing with other population groups. But secondarily, one of the things, the second point, that has bothered me just a little bit is that all of our measures that we've developed are really ones about what is done to, for, or coordination of a dual eligible as though that individual is a passive recipient and not an active part. Somehow we've got to be able to draw the individual into this particular role, and whether that means that it will open up that can of worms of what benefits there are available or what incentives or disincentives that we do on the commercial side, but it's something that I'd like to see going forward. And then finally, as far as other opportunities, and my teenage sons are going to really be aghast at this, I'm going to say social networking. Making better use of things like Zoomerang or for simple questions or having discussion groups or Facebooking each other. those would be other opportunities to expand the discussion.
Thanks. Laura.
Okay, hi. I want to echo, I thank you for the leadership for this group because it did help us form in Storm and Norm and perform. And very, we went through all those stages. I also respect the diversity of this group. I think we went, we didn't look at medical models so much, psychosocial models so much, or even payment-centered models. We all came together and looked at the patient is the center of the model, and everything else kind of feeds into that. So I think this group as a whole, while we all came from different backgrounds, really honed in on the patient-centeredness of what we were here to do. I think I'd like to see the results. I'd like to see not only just the results of what measurements come out of this, but also the results of the measurements. I'm a QI person, and I have to have my data. So, and I know that that's like long in coming, but I think that would be a very intriguing part of this whole process to see it from beginning to that part as well. And updates, however, I'm not on Facebook, but but the website's just fine or anything like that, just to keep us informed about what CMS is up to, what they're working at would be. But I know you all have websites that we could check occasionally. I know there's a map section of the website we can check too. So maybe updates there or something. David.
I guess I'll continue with the theme of thanking the leaders and the staff for what's been a really, really rewarding process, both in terms of the content of the work we've done together, but also in the connections we've made with each other. I know I've gotten to know and connected with several people in this group who I didn't know or didn't know very well before. So that's been very gratifying. As far as the work goes, you know, I think one of the things that has confounded us and that we've really struggled with is that we're working around a population that's defined by having two payment streams and in some ways has not much more than that holding it together as a population. It's incredibly heterogeneous and it's really made up of a whole set of subpopulations. And part of what's been confounding about that is that by virtue of the nature of those subpopulations, either their clinical needs or their demographic parameters, they haven't been covered by or even are even directly excluded from existing measures. And so I guess what I'd like to leave is that I hope that as this work integrates itself into the larger NQF process, that it can be almost flipped around so that existing measures, when they come up for reassessment, are evaluated for how well they cover these subpopulations. And looking at how the dual population can be measured as part of the larger population rather than separately and in isolation.
Adam.
So I think one of the most important aspects of our work has been to demonstrate the limitations of existing measures and the need to fill measurement gaps really quickly. I think another important aspect of our work has just been our ability to achieve consensus around this table, echoing what Laura said. I mean, we have a very diverse group from very different backgrounds and disciplines, but we've been able to, I think, express remarkable consensus about what's important. And I guess on a more grandiose note, I think one potentially important aspect of our work is really pointing the system in the direction that, again, we all think it needs to move in terms of integration and coordination and continuity. I think the process has been very deliberative and exhaustive, and I think it's been a very careful approach to what we do. The only request I might have is there seems to be so many people working on these issues that you almost need a directory of all the activity going on in measurement development, and measurement endorsement, and measurement selection. I think it's been helpful to create connections between this group and us as individuals and other people doing that work, but it'd be nice to know like all the different activity going on. But thank you very much.
Thanks. I'll go ahead and take my turn. So the for me, the two aspects here, I'm taking two, even though I said one. The two most important aspects, one is that, you know, in my role at the Center for Healthcare Strategies, I probably talk on average to five different state people a week. Sometimes it's more like 10 different, you know, from different states. And so one of the most important things is that I can take all of this collected wisdom from all of you and then turn around and relay it back to state officials who, many of them cannot leave the borders of their states. You know, even if somebody like NQF paid their ticket to come to Washington, D.C., the governor has said, no, you may not leave the borders of your state. And so part of it for me is that reality that they, you know, they're in this, they really need help thinking about this stuff, and you guys are doing such good work in support of them. You don't even realize how important it is to folks out there in state Medicaid agencies. And the other important aspect is, you know, like Cheryl was saying, she's worried about the 9 or 10 million duals, and I'm really worried about the 1 or 2 million who are going to be in these demonstrations. You know, within the next few months, the first demos are going to kick off, you know, if all the plans proceed. They're going to start enrolling patients in July in the first state. And so it's really important to me that this work helps feed what the states are able to do for their own individual measurement, as well as the national evaluation team. And so, again, you know, just I can't thank all of you enough for the thoughtfulness that you have brought to this process, and you're willing to contribute actively at the meetings and in between meetings and the time you've taken out of your days to participate. So, and that's where I would like to see the work go in the future, is that, you know, this good thinking isn't left behind, that it feeds into those demos, and that through the demos, the new measure concepts will be tested in a way that will turn into more standardized measures within 3 or 4 years. And then in terms of process improvements, I do rely heavily on the website just to know the difference between what I know as a work group member and what I can share with people publicly. So I hardly ever will send anything that you have sent to me if I haven't checked to make sure that it's a publicly available thing on the website first. So that's what I do to stay pretending like I'm on the public side of this conversation as we go forward. Rita.
Yeah, I'm going to echo, but I'm amazed at how much NQF is great at structuring this, so this very diverse input comes out with some, you know, real input that has real impact. I'm amazed at that. I mean, as I said, I fortunately or not go to a lot of meetings, and it's really nice to see it come out with a real product and have been moved on to next steps. So, you know, I want to thank Analyst's leadership, but also the way NQF structures this so that I think we get a lot done. And I do enjoy the diversity of this group. That's the other thing. You all put together a very diverse group that I think, nonetheless, is really represents different pieces of the elephant, but really has a lot of thoughtful things to say that I always enjoy. And then I also enjoy that I, as a Fed, get to participate as a real person and don't have to sit on the sidelines, you know. So I appreciate that. What I would like to see as some work in the future would be not only kind of the things that Alice was talking about, you know, there's all these measures we're dealing with, but let's look at a program and how do these measures work in a program. And I think that includes not only the great work that CMS is doing with the duals, but, you know, we have a lot of grantees. HRSA has a lot of grantees. You know, there's the home health state plan amendments under Medicaid that is in many ways related to the same kind of efforts to try to better integrate care and to try to apply a measure set to a program and what works and what doesn't and what's missing, I think would be an interesting challenge for this diverse group. And the only process improvement is when you send me a big document, please send me a summary, because my reading pile is about that huge. And as much as I'm interested, I never get through those big documents these days. So.
Good. A lot of what I'm going to say reiterates all the things that people have said. When you put the list up, originally I wrote down the things before I got contaminated with all of your thoughts. And the first thing on the list was what all of talked about, is like the diversity of the group, but the concordance of where we ended up with person-centered care. With respect to where to go in the future, I actually have three things on my list. One of them is that the gaps that we've identified are huge, and this system of care for the duals doesn't quite have the money in it that, say, the hospital system has. And so there has to be money for measure development to fill the gaps. And so whether that comes from the government or foundations or whatever, but from a science point of view, we need to advance the science, and that's going to take some resources. I'd also like to reiterate, we need to have better encounter data. And Cheryl, when it comes to your integrated plans, you really need that encounter data, or you won't be able to really evaluate what's going on. And the last thing is to measure at the population level, which we've touched on, given the small numbers in these groups, that sometimes we might only be able to measure out at the state level or at a county level, and we shouldn't forget that we can measure at the community level, especially when we have small numbers. From a process point of view, I was on vacation when we voted on what were the most important measures, and it came out around the gerontology meetings and Thanksgiving, and I was gone that whole week. So I guess I put in a plug of, you know, if you're going to send us something that takes a lot of thinking, send it to us before the vacation starts so we can at least take it with us on vacation.
Yes.
Thanks, Trish.
Well, I have an aside before I look at the questions. I just noticed, and I hope somebody will tell me I'm absolutely wrong about this. One of the things that we as an advocacy community have been saying to MMCO about the duals integration is that an essential element of care for the duals is an interdisciplinary assessment and the creation of a care plan. We do not have assessment, interdisciplinary assessment, I don't think, in any of our measures. We have some assessment measures, but I don't think that kind of thing. So I just kind of noticed that in the last waning moments of our time. In terms of the questions, I actually was quite amazed at our very first meeting at the direction that we all went with this diverse group, with a lot of clinicians and people from different sort of segments of the healthcare system affecting dual eligibles. And very early on, we were headed in the direction that we've ended up in, I think. And I was very impressed by that and actually interested, and I think we'll move very quickly away from clinical measures as this kind of dominant conversation. And I think we noticed also very early on, as someone said, that the two distinguishing characteristics of dual eligibles are that they have two public programs that don't mesh together very well and that they're poor. And otherwise, they are
they have a higher prevalence of certain conditions and certain situations, and I think we were kind of focusing in those higher prevalence areas as we looked at developing our measures. So I think that what we've done for duals does have broader application. Like Alice, I'm pretty much involved, only in a very different way, on the current duals demonstrations. So I'm really happy to hear that you and the in Cheryl's office are using this stuff now. But I you know, hearing the presentations today, which were fascinating, it was a little bit disheartening to see the magnitude of the complexity. And we're moving into territory that's not the common territory for the measures. So it's a bit daunting to think of moving this process along at the speed with which the duals integration processes are moving. So I, for the future, I, as Adam said, I think, you know, moving this conversation quickly. And I guess Rita mentioned looking at how measures work in a particular program, that would have been helpful. As someone coming new to the measurement world, that would have certainly been helpful to me to get a more concrete sense of how stuff works in the real world. But I have learned a lot and very much appreciated being part of this group, and I thank you, all the staff, including these people who are taking amazing notes.
Thanks. Steve?
Well, thanks. I've, too, have been astounded with the kind of consensus building that we've seen among a really quite diverse group of people and perspectives, and the focus on the person-centered care and quality metrics that is distinctly unique from the other work groups. Work in the future, I think, addressing the gaps, and I'm an implementation kind of person, so follow-up and feedback and improvement and adjustments and to better meet our goals that we've set would be something that would be my hope for future work. The process has been exceptional leadership and organizational structure to this has been echoed by several. And just to keep this group focused, we're commenting today, to keep this group focused to get as much as we've gotten done, yet keep a broad sort of open approach has been really interesting and fun to be a part of. I've been honored and enjoyed and learned a lot being a part of this, and hope to continue to represent NAPH in the future. Thanks.
Leonardo.
I guess for me, the exciting and, as Trish mentioned, sometimes scary thing right now is the opportunity in front of us for things to get a lot better or things to get a lot worse. And I think what I would love for our vision to be is one of taking advantage of that opportunity and not getting stuck in that trap that we're constantly stuck in, which is we have a system that can do X, Y, and Z, so we only ask it to do X, Y, and Z. And since all we ask it to do is X, Y, and Z, the system only continues to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And it's this trap that we get in, and what will happen is we'll be so stuck on, you know, what's feasible around measures and what's it going to cost, that we'll miss the opportunity that is happening with new programs being created, new funding being created, new EHR requirements being created all simultaneously. And so we'll sort of, you know, we'll take a very small bite at the apple now, and then 3 years from now we'll all say, oh, you know, here's what we should have done. We had all these ideas that weren't quite feasible. Now let's upgrade the system to do that. And everybody will come back and say, no, we already invested in the system, and it's, you know, it's too big a lift to make those changes. And so I think for me it's all about sort of this opportunity to push measures that are really going to do what we want done, and to worry a little less about what's feasible or not. And of course, I'm a consumer advocate, so that's what I would say. But, you know, nonetheless, that's sort of my view of where we are. In terms of the process, you know, being one of the people who came with probably one of the smallest knowledge sets on measurement. It's obviously been really helpful for me to have a team of people making sure that I understood what was going on all the time. So I really appreciate that, and I realize that almost everybody here has incredible knowledge in some area, but none of us, you know, knows everything about measurement. And so those resources, well, maybe Deb knows everything about measurement, but with the possible exception of Deb, I think all of us have gaps in our knowledge about measurement, so I really appreciate that. And the thing that probably would have helped me would have been to have earlier on in the process some of that interaction directly with the measures, because I think it was sort of halfway through the process. I mean, I still remember that first group exercise where we sat down and actually started looking at measures and comparing them and talking about them. And that, to me, was the first point where I started to be able to see, oh, this is what you mean by, you know, how do the measures align with such. I mean, so for me, it would have been very helpful for that process to happen earlier so that I would have known what the heck we were talking about in the beginning. Really extremely helpful, and thanks so much.
Thanks, Cheryl. Well, first of all, I just want to thank everyone. The input and your thought and energy level and passion has been tremendous. And this whole process and the input that you've provided has been, I had high expectations, and this group has exceeded those expectations exponentially. So thank you so much for your work on this and continuing to push us. I think in addition to the importance of this being based on consensus and everyone's views, getting us moving forward, which many people have talked about, that is a tremendous thing. I want to highlight, because I want to make sure that you all know this, the rapid cycle learning often from this group has been tremendously helpful, sometimes that happening within days or hours of things here. Literally what comes out here, suggestions, ideas, thoughts, consensus, has been a dynamic process of informing us and informing how we have moved forward at CMS, at HHS. It's not a static, we're waiting for the final product and then we'll think about it. It's when someone brings up a concept or an idea or an issue, immediately taken back and integrated in. So I do want you to be aware of it and realize how much what's happening here is impacting all of our thinking and how tremendously important and valuable that is, even though you may not see it tangibly, or maybe you can look at something now that you realize that and be like, hey, wait a minute, she plagiarized. That's where they got that. So those ideas are being integrated into our daily work and really pushing us. And so I think for the future, the most important thing is for this group to keep pushing us, to keep pushing the envelope, to push the envelope with what quality is, what does it mean, how do we measure it, and keep asking the really difficult questions of why would we measure that? Is that really important? If we do, does that really get us where we want to be, which is improvement related to something very important for this population? So I think that the hard questions keep them coming. I have a feeling this group will, and that's a wonderful thing about this group. And then for the process improvements, the only thing I can say is that it would be for CMS to be more responsive, and that is my own lack in getting back quickly enough to NQF. So I have to say what a tremendous job NQF has done, and thank you for your patience with CMS in responding. Often Sarah does a tremendous job, as does everyone else, in reminding me of my outstanding things that I need to get back on. So thank you so much. You've done a tremendous job, and this really has, this whole group and the working of it and your facilitating of it has really, I mean, it's gone beyond my expectations. So thank you so much.
Because Alice will have the last word, we also need to thank her. On your behalf, she does an awful lot with us, giving us guidance so that we can bring back the kind of organization that you all have complimented. So much to Alice's credit. Thank you.
So, Nicole, we were going to offer one last opportunity for public comment if you wanted to re-instruct folks on the phone.
certainly. For public comment, please press star 1.
And Nicole, thank you again so much. You have really helped us out on the many calls that you have participated in.
Thank you very much. There's no public comment.
Thanks. And thank you, Donald. And thanks to all of you. All the support and the work that you do in between times, really phenomenal job. So thank you again to the staff. All right, and so you get a free extra half an hour in your day. Good job, everybody.